Thank you.
This is part of my PhD study at Murdoch University, Australia, and it's supervised by Stephen Milroy and Richard Bell. just to get us around what we are going to talk about today is about potato and food security, the origin and growing temperature, and the challenging climate and the potato production and the experiments that we did and some of the results and then conclusion. Ladies and gentlemen, we may not really get down to the business of knowing how important potato is, but it's the most important food crop after wheat, maize, and rice. Currently, it is produced on over 19 million hectares, yielding about 16 tons per hectare per year fresh tuber. Now, for Western Australia, it's worth for 58 million Australian dollars. That's at farm gate, and over 250 million Australian dollars through the value chain. The crop originated in the cool temperate region of South America and has been bred mostly in the cooler environments of Europe, for instance, in America, and has maximum tuber yields at 18 to 20. However, something is changing. The world is changing and we have heat anomalies. For instance, this is data that was generated in 2016, and it just shows how the world has several regions have changed. The anomalies are normally calculated based on a base temperature. So base temperature of between 1951-1980 is used. Then any region that has warmed or cooled, the program can code a different color. And as we can see, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing to be happy about there. Every region has changed. And you look at regions such as Canada, Europe, these ones have warmed. About where the origin of the crop in South America also has warmed. So traditional production regions have warmed. Breeding centers are also warming. On the other side, there is a shift in potato production. We can see the world here is about 19, we are producing about 19 million hectares. But when you look at the Americas, it stays here, even below 5 million hectares. We look at Europe, where we expect much production because of the cooler environment, nothing. So we are having a global shift towards hotter regions, and this is a risk to the tuber yield. I did some study in 2015 and looked at some potato regions in Western Australia, because in Western Australia we grow potato throughout the year, even during summer, and this season is shifted around depending on which region is cooler. When I looked at that, the temperatures that are known to cause yield reduction in potato are beyond or above 25. So none of these regions showed any cooling. We had temperatures above 25, above 30, above 35 too. So potato is increasingly exposed to episodes of high temperature, which might limit its yield. But do we know whether the episodes of high temperature threaten growth and yields in potatoes? What I know now is temperatures above 25 limit tuber growth and hence the yield. But with episodes of high temperatures, the natural temperature fluctuations during crop growth is important. Here, for the past presentations, we are focusing only on heat stress after pollination. But I'm bringing something new. What if the temperatures come before this period? What happens to the yield of the plant? So the little is known about how episodes of high temperatures, either before tuber or after tuber initiation influence potato and tuber growth. Sorry for that. I did two experiments. One of them was high temperature before tuber initiation, and another another experiment or temperature during early tuber development, and we grew our plants first under constant temperatures of 22, then exposed them before tuber initiation to two different temperatures, 26 and 30 constant, then took them back to the control temperatures. Then for the second experiment, we waited until the tubers had formed, then we imposed the temperatures, then took them back to the control. Water was applied. We used single stem potato plants because potato has is variable in the shoot, secondary stems, and we also covered the pots outside in the top to minimize any heat affecting the growth mixture. This was a glasshouse experiment. Now, on the yield, on the right, we have the first experiment. On the left, we have the second experiment, and this is a dry matter on tuber yields. And what I see, the yields were reduced to a similar extent, whether the temperature appeared before or after tuber initiation. This is contrary to what other people have found about the starch synthase influence. I looked at also the biomass partitioning, partitioning to the whole plant, partitioning to lateral shoots and the main shoot. And for the whole plant, there wasn't any clear indication that the dry matter was changing. But on the main and the lateral shoots, the main shoots, what I have in bra, I have the treatments, the dotted lines are my 30 degree, dash dot is 26, and the full line is 22, that is the control. On the top here, I have the main shoot. At the bottom, I have the lateral shoot, and the experiment one are on my right side, and experiment two are on the left. Now, what I saw is the main shoot were declining, but the lateral shoot were increasing in the dry matter. In terms of leaf growth, we are having a also similar trend, a decline in main shoot and some kind of an increase in the lateral shoots. Leaf expansion, because I scanned all the leaf material from the plant, only the green laminae, only sinensed portions were chopped out, and looked at that. Main shoot was impacted. Much reduction on leaf area of the main shoot. The lateral shoots were more on the in having an increasing tendency. Tuber initiation and size category, we are having a tendency to more tubers at high temperatures. More, but small tubers. Now, the findings of this study was that an episode of high temperature impaired growth and reduced, this is as a result of reduction in the leaf area and dry matter. An episode of 30 degrees centigrade impaired main shoots and resulted in vigorous growth of the lateral shoots after the end of the high temperature period. And we have an episode of 30 degrees stimulated the production of more but small sized tubers. Tuber loss was probably exacerbated by the rapidly expanding lateral shoots after the end of the high temperature period. And lastly, an episode of high temperature had both immediate and long-term effect on potato physiology. As a conclusion, the suppressed tuber growth after the end of the high temperature period was not the influence of starch synthesis. Why may I say this? In this particular study, the high temperature, the reduction in tuber growth was correlated, positively correlated with the inability or inactivity of starch synthesis. But that was an experiment where the temperature was conducted, was imposed when the tubers were there. In our experiment, first experiment, the tubers were not even there when the plants were moved from the high temperature period. So the likelihood that the starch synthesis was in the tubers and was impacting negatively to the growth of the tuber is something that wasn't there. The reduced growth of the main shoot while the lateral shoots got stimulated does not also support the gibberellic acid mechanism. It has been proposed in the past that at high temperature, there is stimulation of gibberellic acid that leads to the production of more shoot. This one is totally different because we are not seeing, we are not exposing our plants to long term. In fact, the decline in the growth of the main shoot is after the end of the high temperature period. So if there was an influence of the GA mechanism, we would have expected even the main shoot to have more leaf growth. Then further, the initiation of more tubers after the end of the high temperature period also contradicts the GA influence. Because GA is associated with less tuber number, according to these studies. We are not getting that. We are getting more tuber numbers at the end, after the end of the high temperature period. So these results are suggesting more something to do with an auxin, because we are having main shoot at the end of the high temperature. We are having branching, which a colleague has just mentioned in quinoa. The plant is branching out after the end of the temperature. What's happening? We know already that auxin mechanism normally controls the elongation of the main shoot and the growth of the laterals. So we are thinking that direction. Acknowledgement from the federal Australian government and potato research and Murdoch University. Thank you.
I had a quick one. I'm trying to remember it. I had two and I forgot both of them. About the auxin hypothesis.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate a little bit more? How would you think auxins are related to what you're seeing?
We're thinking because the growth. What the data that I didn't present here is during the high temperature, at the end of the high temperature, the main shoot is reduced, the elongation is reduced. After the end of the high temperature, we put the plants in the control, the main shoot elongates, and the lateral branches, the plants start branching out. We have auxin and cytokinin that normally controls such kind of a phenomenon. So we are thinking during the high temperature, auxin is kind of suppressed. At the end of the temperature, that suppression is eliminated, and therefore, whenever an auxin is suppressed, cytokinin might kick in.
Okay.
So after the end of the high temperature, cytokinin kicks in, it promotes the branching, and the plant grows. But we need to test that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the follow-up question is, did you get a chance to measure or have an approximation of root respiration?
Respiration?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that. In fact, this is just part of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Even the auxins, we currently trying those different concentrations, and the nighttime respiration were a little bit lower. I mean, higher at high temperature. Yeah, we did also photosynthesis and got almost the same scenario in quinoa. high rates of photosynthesis at high temperature. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thank you again.